Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. Jesus came to make dead people live. And what is the path to life, true and abiding life for Christ, and thus for the Christian? It's the cross. It's always been the cross. The tone this week has certainly changed from the one last week of joy. This week we encounter a new side of Jesus, the side of Jesus that is at once a human, preparing himself for something major, and of the Son of God, moving forward in complete obedience to the Father. Listen again, please, to the first reading. Jeremiah says, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, for this is the covenant that I will make. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord, because all from least to greatest shall know me, says the Lord." Jeremiah says the days are coming, and almost as if he's responding to the prophet, Jesus says the hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, for the Son of Man to be lifted up, that he might draw all mankind to himself. The hour has come for the Father's will to be done, and for the Father to be glorified in and by the Son. The days are coming. And at last, the hour has come. This is good news, of course, because it shows us that God does not go back on his promises. But the troubling part for many of us, at least for me, I think, is the stark realization of what this hour will entail. That unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. It's the ultimate paradox of the Christian life, that whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for the sake of Jesus Christ will somehow preserve it for all eternity. And I'm not in a position to explain this paradox. It would take a lifetime of writing and teaching. But I am in a position to proclaim it as true. All of the saints, all of the people in your life whose holiness makes you crazy, the people who seem to be utterly at peace, those whose eyes betray a life of weariness, whose hands betray exhaustion, and whose hearts betray great joy, they will tell you that this paradox is true. Similarly, all of those who have given up, those who have no hope, who have only ever chosen themselves, those who have built walls, who refuse to open the door to the Lord who is knocking, they too will tell you that the paradox is true. Because in the end, what they thought would save them didn't. If I may be so bold, I know that I'm a good preacher. I know that I'm a good communicator, that I'm good with people. I know that I could get up in front of a crowd and say something coherent, inspiring, and thoughtful. And I used to think that I could ride through my ministry on those gifts. I took a Christology oral exam my first year of theology 4 years ago, and the professor said, "Ryan, you are an excellent communicator, but you don't have anything of substance to say. So, as a priest, what do you plan to communicate?" That maybe is the harshest thing that a teacher has ever said to me, but it is also probably one of the nicest things that anyone has ever said to me. Because in 69 days, I will be a priest. And my prayer, of course, is that I will be a good priest. But I see now, largely because of the ministry that I've been able to do here with all of you, that I will not be a good priest merely because I am very smart or because I'm a good preacher. Rather, I will be a good priest because I have suffered. I have suffered little things like being rebuked by a teacher who thought I was dumb, like failing to communicate well sometimes with Father Pat and learning from that, or like putting being funny over being holy and being corrected by a parishioner in public for acting like an idiot. But I've suffered big things too, like having a panic attack and crying in front of the bishop once, having to have video conference calls with my parents to plan ordination stuff because they're divorced and my dad lives far away, telling my best friend a deep secret and having him turn away. And I'm not telling you this so that you feel bad for me. I'm telling you so that you know that it's okay to suffer, that these things have made me weak, but, and this is evidence, I think, for the ultimate truth of this paradox, because I am weak, I am stronger than ever. As a priest, as a Christian, as your brother, the only thing that I can do is speak to you out of my poverty, because out of my poverty flows my strength. Jesus, the Son of God, became a human being. He entered into my poverty. He is standing at the door of the poorest places in you, in us, and he's knocking. He is at the lowest and the most shameful and the most embarrassing parts of your life, and he is knocking. Son though he was, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And when through his suffering he was made perfect, he became the source of salvation for all. We are perfected through suffering. The hard things are very often the right things. So what are the places that you are trying to keep hidden from grace? What are the areas that are filled with pain that you are keeping away from Jesus? Because Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. Jesus is coming and is now here to be with you most powerfully, precisely in the places of your life where death is taking over you. Jesus is coming and is now here to be with you most powerfully, precisely in the places of your life where you long for life to dominate again. As we enter now the final stages of Lent, recall the promise of God from the first reading. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will place my law within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will place the law within them and I will write it on their hearts. I will come to the very depths of this people, to the darkest and the most dead and the most lifeless places of their experience, and I will bring life. Suffering is hard. Life is hard. Suffering is inconvenient, but we're not alone in it. Every single one of us has at least a little suffering to do, and we have every reason to be confident, because the way has already been trod, this path has already been taken. And as we will see in the dawn of Easter morning, the path of suffering, of death, and of obedience leads directly to life, always. So, what is our prayer today? If he is coming to write upon our hearts, to live within the poverty and the darkness of our hearts, then let our prayer be the one of the psalmist today. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live.